welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, my friends. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. I'm so glad to be here with you today, and I'm really actually very excited to speak on a topic that I haven't yet addressed fully enough, and it is brought to my attention by Majid, who is one of our lovely community, and he sent me a speak pipe about, and I will summarize it, about the conflict that some people feel, that I think we all feel at certain points in this journey, between feeling the depth of our negative emotions, let's just call it that for lack of a better word, and also holding a space for positivity and reframing, and what some people can confuse with the law of attraction or the energy of abundance. You know, how do we hold both? How do we hold the challenging and the negative and the things that need to be unearthed in order for our nervous system to stop protecting us from them, and the ease of what people can call a positive mindset or a reframing mindset? And so we're going to get into that today because it's so important. It's so important to understand the nuance of holding space for both, because as Majid says in his share, he feels like it's impossible to occupy both spaces. And I actually disagree with that. So we're going to shed light on the power of language and the understanding of what this work really is about today. So great, great topic for discussion. And I'm excited to bring it forth on this platform. So before I dive into his speak pipe, I want to just remind you guys that we are here in January and my Omega retreat is earlier this year than usual. It's in June, June 25th through the 30th. And I'm already hearing from Omega that spots are filling up in the retreat. And although the retreat doesn't really sell out unless we have like an enormous amount of people, I'm allowed to have quite a big retreat. They give me that space at Omega, but the accommodations sell out. And so for you to have the full experience of staying there, eating the incredible food and being on the campus with us, if you're interested in coming to my only in-person retreat of the year, which is Omega, please go over to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, click on the retreats tab, or go to eomega.org and search my name, Nicole Sachs, and sign up for that retreat if you want to join us. It's in New York. It's a couple hours north of the city. It's a beautiful, idyllic setting. It feels like adult summer camp. And I'm going to be there. Lisa's going to be there. Danny, my incredible best friend and pianist, musical accompaniment, is going to be there. And we're just going to have a really, really amazing time. So if you're interested in joining us, do get on that. And lastly, if you're interested in joining my private membership community, we are almost full for the second group, but there are spots available. Go to njsachs@thecureforchronicpain.com and put membership in your subject line of your email so I know you want to be in the second cohort. And I'll be sending information out personally to those people very soon about joining our next group. And that is just a private membership group where we have an online community where I personally answer questions every day. And then we have a once a month, 3-hour Zoom where we meet each other. We spend time together. I am there with you. Lisa's there with you. We're going over specific topics. It's really, really been powerful in our first cohort. So if you want to join our second one, please send me that email so I know you're interested. All right. So what we're going to do here today is I'm going to play you Majid's speak pipe, which is very, I love it because he's concise. He gets right to the question. I feel his conflict and his emotion underneath it. And then we can talk about my reflections on the other side. So here is Majid.
Hey, Nicole. I hope you're doing well. This is Majid, and my question is about the fact that I feel like I'm journaling myself into depression, if that makes sense, because we're supposed to feel all these negative, sad emotions from the past or in the present, right? And I'm at a point where I kind of loathe my parents And given that I live in a different country, it makes it hard to even make a phone call or send a text message. At the same time, I'm reading books like The Last Best Cure and Inner Dimensions about how having a positive attitude or outlook on life, it triggers your internal healing responses, or things like reframing stressful situations into less grim ones is beneficial to our health, both physically and mentally. So I'm wondering how you would settle these two views or reconcile them somehow, because I cannot exist in both of those kinds of like frames of thought, because I'm inundated with all these sad emotions that makes it really hard to be cheerful or like positive about anything. So I hope that makes sense. Thank you for your time. And if you would please shed some light on this, I'd really appreciate it. Take care and have a great day.
Okay, so let's talk about this. So Majid discusses how he feels that he is, quote, journaling himself into depression. He's at the point where he's loathing his parents. He doesn't feel like calling or reaching out to them. And what I'm hearing in his share about living in a different country is, you know, I guess if you're not naturally interacting with people, you know, seeing them over dinner occasionally in like sort of a less triggering setting, maybe with other people, or you're not running into them at the grocery store, it's even harder to reach out and text when you're feeling that negatively. So I bring connection to that, Majid, and I understand how hard that can be. And he's also trying to hold both feelings at the same time. He's reading this book called The Last Best Cure. I actually, just in full disclosure, have never heard of or read that book, but I know the books like that about positive mindset and about, you know, trying to reframe things in order to affect healing. So I understand that. What I also hear from Majid is he's struggling with holding the TMS perspective, meaning unearthing the trauma, looking at things in the light of truth, at the same time as holding the space for books that emphasize the importance of mindset, which mindset is everything. So we're going to talk about how we can be more understanding of the nuance of that mindset and how we hold space for both, and how a, quote, positive approach is central for healing. Such great questions. Majid asks how he can possibly maintain a cheerful perspective while feeling inundated by the sad emotions that come up with this journal speak work. So Majid, this is a great question. And let me say before I even address it more fully that we have to become comfortable with what is. If transformation begins with the radical acceptance of what is, and Majid, you don't detail what your chronic pain is in your share, but one thing that I always say is that it doesn't kind of really matter how it's showing up. You know, sometimes it shows up as back pain or migraines or fibro or stomach issues or hip, neck, shoulder or anxiety, you know, whatever, however it's showing up. Obviously, it's showing up to protect you from feeling these, quote, negative feelings, maybe toward your parents and other things that are related, because we would just all rather bypass that and have a positive mindset and feel okay with people. And like, if that were possible, Majid, freaking hallelujah. I want to not deal with my sad things and my deep things and my angry things and my shameful things too. I don't. And if we were allowed to do that and our body didn't ping us with this chronic, you know, way of expressing things through the body, then that probably would be most of our choices. And so the first thing I want to say before we even dive into this conversation is, unfortunately / fortunately, feeling these negative things is necessary. Dealing with them is necessary, because if we don't, they are expressed through the physical body. And this is the capital T truth. So if that's the case, there's a little bit of, you know, putting on our big boy pants here, because we have to. We have to. It's either expressed through our heart or it's expressed through our body. So I get it. And I feel the stuckness of that moment of the journey when you're like, oh, damn, I don't know how to feel both. I don't like my parents anymore. This fucking sucks. And I get it. And also it's necessary. And the only way out is through. So I want to kind of begin with the energy of that, because if we don't begin with the energy of that, there becomes this bifurcation where we think there's a choice and we can maybe just choose the positive thinking. And unfortunately, that's just not true. I've been doing this for 20 plus years. I know it not to be true, because I know that the body will keep the score, as Bessel van der Kolk says, and Gabor Mate says the body will say no, and both of them are right. And I cheerlead alongside them for all of you, knowing that this is hard and it's arduous and we don't always want to choose it, and it is the way. So I'm putting it out there, and let's talk more then about Majid's excellent question. So Majid, you're circling this idea of positive thinking, and you didn't say the law of attraction, but the reason I'm bringing in the law of attraction is that so often people say this to me. They're like, but I want to call in abundance, and I want to call in better relationships, and I want to call in positivity. How can I do that alongside being with these darker parts of myself, going into these darkest rooms and turning on the light? And I say, right. You know, it does kind of feel like that. It does feel like this idea of positive thinking and the law of attraction is juxtaposed with writing yourself into depression, right? And so first I want to spend some time unpacking language, because words have power. And we've done this a lot on the podcast. We've understood how language is powerful, and it influences not only how we approach our lives, the way we see ourselves and others, how we evaluate our well-being and our success, health, and happiness, but language also constructs our identity. So I don't know if you remember back in the summer, I devoted a podcast to talking about how our choices to frame conditions with a possessive pronoun, as in, quote, my migraine or my hip pain or my anxiety, is a way that we attempt to take back what is disempowering by, quote, owning our pain. And it's so funny, because it's like, ironically, we feel like it works, like it gives us an excuse and a way to get out of what we would rather not do or face. And I know that this is not your choice, but this is the way it goes, and I've lived it so many times. You know, I can take to my bed with, quote, my migraine. It keeps me small and safe. And we all know that's safe in the unsafest way. We don't want to live that way, because it also begins to define you. You know, I am a stomach person. I am a headache person. I am a depressed person. What happens is that we use language and it shapes our identity. So what I want to say to you, Majid, and to so many of you who can relate as you do the work and uncover your stories, is that you are not writing yourself into depression. So let's start there. Let's start with words have power. You know, it's powerful when we say my migraine and I'm a stomach person, and it's powerful when we use the word depression. So I want to just reframe it, because I do think it's important that you could say I'm writing my way through something. But to say I'm writing my way into depression makes me want to define depression for you. So you understand that, first of all, depression is a clinical term. So depression is a term that, if we're talking about a major depressive episode, requires clinically and diagnostically 2 weeks of being completely disabled, not being able to function, not being able to live your regular life, you know, in bed, or, you know, there. If you want to understand more, you can look it up in terms of the DSM-5. So the reason I'm saying this, and the reason I'm getting so technical in terms of terminology, is words have power and it's important. You are not depressed. You are struggling through something normal and natural that you need to do in order to not be chronically ill or in pain. What you're doing must be done. It's a necessary step for understanding that you are not your trauma. You are not the physical manifestations of your trauma. You're not depressed. You're on your way somewhere. You're teaching your nervous system that you're safe in looking at your trauma, going into your dark rooms, turning on the light, allowing the difficult emotion to surface, be named. be staying with them, eventually allow them to release. You know, I say this a lot, but it took years to walk into the woods. It takes some time to walk back out, to get clarity, to get freedom. And unfortunately, there's no way other than to look at what we need to feel. You know, you may always have the same parents, but you will not always have the same symptoms, and you will not always feel the same way about your parents. You're on a journey. An acceptance of this, the deep acceptance of understanding that you're not harming yourself by feeling these things. You're walking through a hard part of this process toward freedom. So let me ask you a question. It's just a powerful question. Is it possible to feel, to reframe, that you're journaling yourself through a sadness rather than into a depression? Let's change up the language. Is it possible to feel sadness without becoming sadness, becoming depression, becoming negative? And even when I use the word depression here, please know it's still the wrong use. We are only depressed when we are clinically depressed. And that is not something that is usually the case with this work. Usually we feel down and we move through it because that's part of the process. So is it possible to feel sadness without becoming sadness? I think so. Let's use language, which is so powerful and truly the only tool we have to communicate to others and to with ourselves, to reframe how we see ourselves and our worlds. Can we experience melancholy and grieve for our inner child in order to move through our feelings rather than name them depression? Diagnose ourselves with heavy terms that we hang on to and that keep us stuck. What if we understood that the essential nature of life is change, cycles? We go through cycles all the time, death and rebirth. You know, people fear death, but I've heard many spiritual teachers say, but they should really be fearing walking around dead while we're alive. And I have been there many, many times where I'm like, I need to understand that there are so many little deaths, so many little things that we experience, whether it be in parenting or in self-worth or in the personal journey and where we need to go, where like things need to die in order for us to be reborn again and again and again. And that's when we learn that we are ascending in concentric circles. So you can look back on the ascension pod from the summer and that realize that the path that we're walking is like concentric circles up a mountain. And it relates to the way you might, Majid, begin to view your parents and your experiences. Like today you loathe your parents. And you're going to keep walking through this work and you're going to keep revisiting what needs to be revisited and you're going to keep checking in with your inner child. And if you haven't done the inner child work, anyone listening, please go to my website. There's an inner child retreat recording that you can download under the retreats tab. Learn how to do this inner child work. It's so powerful. And so when you're sitting with the inner child, doing the works necessary to heal, reframing the word depression so you realize you're not journaling yourself into something, you're going through something hard, then you can understand that you're ascending. When you are ascending, it's not always going to feel like you're done because there is no done, but you're going to see how you're progressing. You're going to be able to look down at prior versions of yourself and see the progress you've made, and it's really, really powerful. So realize that we can ease the concept of negativity because we have to walk through these parts that we deem negative with self-compassion. Another important point of this work is that everything we experience, both pain and the work we're invited to do to overcome it, bring us to the places we need to go, right? So it's hard, but it's necessary. And so many of us were raised, and this is me included, having no idea that self-compassion matters, literally. It sounds so dumb now that I'm, you know, looking in the rear view. I didn't think when I was growing up that it mattered ever to pause and be kind to myself, to literally understand that the energy of self-compassion changes the way everything looks through my eyes. And I don't know about you, Majid. I don't know if you're utilizing self-compassion. You know, perhaps this fear of the experience of negativity is allowing into your life. So this is like, go with me here. Allowing yourself to know self-compassion is necessary. Like maybe this is your invitation to know that it's time to pause and have self-compassion. Because if you're loathing your parents right now, I'm going to just go out on a limb and assume they didn't have too much compassion for you and your experience. And it's like, as adults, we get to pause and now have that kind of compassion for ourselves. And it sounds like a drag because you're like, man, I should have been given this, and you should have. But so many of us are not given this. And so having self-compassion, having a self-compassion practice, Google Dr. Kristen Neff, N-E-F-F. She is my go-to. She is the world leader in self-compassion research. It's important. So maybe the stuckness that you felt when you sent us the speak pipe is your catalyst for inviting self-compassion into your life. So when we do this stuff, we learn to wear all of the things on our journey a little bit more loosely. And instead of co-opting clinical terms like depression and fearful states of being, which can be detrimental to our health and healing, we realize that, okay, you know, this is where I am. I'm on this journey. It doesn't feel great today, but I'm practicing self-compassion. I'm understanding the acceptance that, you know, this is where I need to go in order to have my body stop expressing this. Okay, I'm going to make space for possibilities. I'm going to replace my fear with curiosity and know that there's space for not loathing my parents, eventually, should that be something that I arrive at. So I want to reference Michael Singer for a moment. Michael Singer is one of my favorite authors. He wrote The Untethered Soul and Living Untethered. And he has this metaphor that always helps me reframe the idea that I am not my emotions. I am not defined by my feelings. I am mindful. By being mindful, I can observe my feelings and remind myself of this image that Singer discusses. So this is what he says. Your emotions are the water. And you are the bird resting on the water. Sometimes it's peaceful and the water gently moves you up and down. And sometimes it's tumultuous and you feel like you're drowning. Yet, you do not control the water or the weather. You are not the water or the weather. They will move through the way they always have. And sometimes, because of other factors that need to happen in order for you to grow, they're going to be hard. But since you're not the water, your heart can hurt, but you are not your heart. You're experiencing your heart. You are not your chronic pain condition. You're experiencing them, but you are not those things. You are the consciousness that observes them. Freedom exists in the difference between the fact that you are perceiving yourself as being these things and knowing that you are the witness. You're observing these things because, you know, in Buddhism also, you are the sky. Your feelings and your experiences are the weather. So knowing this, eventually, that each phase will pass and you will dry your wings and you will fly, this consciousness, this bird will fly. And also knowing that when it's time to touch down, experience the water again, that's also okay. It's part of your lifelong journey. So all of this speaks to acceptance for me. Okay, which brings me to the most important point for you, Majid. And this is the one that really gets very meta for me. So like try to breathe, everyone out there, because this is like intense stuff. And try to wear things so loosely that we're taking a step back from all our pain and our specifics and our experiences and our frustrations. And here's what I have to say to everyone. This is your life. This is your life. This is your experience of being alive. So whatever you believe, You may have many lifetimes if that's what you believe. Who knows if we do? But this is certainly the only one where you get to be uniquely and totally and beautifully Majid, or you, every you out there. So we have to live it, and we have to be here all the way. So yes, this work will make you feel sad and heavy at times, yes. And yes, it may encourage you to draw boundaries with people who have hurt you, like your parents. And yes, it can feel messier and uglier and less convenient than you'd like it to. But this is your life. Here we are. As I always say, transformation, which we're all begging for, begins with the radical acceptance of what is. So how do we find out what is? How do we make the soil fertile for the transformation in the only way that actually elicits it? We have to inquire. We have to be curious. We have to replace our fear with curiosity and sit with the hurting inner child, however he or she is showing up. And yes, at times, this will make us feel like we're, quote, journaling ourselves into depression. I get the word. I get the heaviness. But what if the heaviness is necessary, my friend? What if the heaviness is a stepping stone on the path out and the only way out is through? And remember, I'm not dissing on books like The Next Best Cure, or I mean, I haven't read or heard of it, but books like that, I'm not dissing on it. In fact, I have a great respect for positive mindset and reframing the challenging things that feel unmanageable. You know, I remember somebody once told me about neuro-linguistic processing, I think that is NLP. And like the example they gave is, instead of saying, I have 1,000 things to do today and feeling really overwhelmed, you reframe it and you say, I have 8 things to do today. Let me write them down. And like immediately I can feel how that reframes it, how that makes it more manageable. I get it and I respect it and I support it. But it just can't be at the substitution of doing the work we need to do. You know, because the deeper truth about a positive mindset is, a positive mindset and a lighter way of being are similar to the R, the release in answer, allow, name, stay, release. So go with me here. When we allow for our feelings and stop repressing our emotions, when we name them in our journal speak practice and stop hiding from that which is, when we sit and stay with our hard things like loathing our parents or our partners or our kids, knowing that's not the end of the story and that that loathing will morph and change as we grow and understand what lies beneath and around it, then we have a chance to release. Release is the natural consequence of allow, name, and stay. Just like a lighter mindset that you're wanting, Majid, is the natural consequence of walking through this work without needing to halt it or judge it or pitying ourselves within it. You are on your way, all of you guys, me, all of us. We are on our way. The obstacles in the path are the path. The water and the weather will change. And as you do this work on the easy days and the hard days, slowly, slowly, and this takes experience, you got to walk through this to know this, you will realize that you are still here. You, the center, the consciousness, the bird on the water, the bird flying free in its high moments, you know, free in the air, and sitting on that tumultuous water in the more challenging moments. You are the bird. You are the consciousness that transcends all circumstance. And you will see and you will know this more and more as you ascend, as you travel this path, the concentric circles up your mountain. And each time you turn around and look down, you will realize how far you've come. And that is the way. That's what we're doing here. So I hope that this chat, I feel like I was talking to you the whole time, Majid. So I hope you felt me. I hope it helps. It helps me. It helps me to remember and reframe because I've got hard stuff going on in my life too. I have challenges. I have moments where I feel like that water is too turbulent and I just want to peace out. And then I say, right, yeah. But here I am. And this is it. And here I am. All right, my loves. Well, until next time, this is Nicole Sachs. If you are enjoying this podcast, please hop over to iTunes and rate and review it. It really helps people like Majid and all of you guys out there find the podcast. It helps me to know that you're listening. And I will see you next week. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.